Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is not only, I don't think you were wed, Miss Rachel, I think you were about to be wed. Does that sound correct to you?
I feel like, was I married the last time? Yeah, I think I changed to Wright last time.
All right. Rachel Wright is here with us. Exciting news. We'll go into it. Well, let's do it now. Why not? Who cares? I'm on the topic.
You get to do whatever you want. It's your show.
Damn right. Suck it, bitches. Daddy's in control and he's on a power trip. You have launched the website. We discussed it here on the show a while back with your lovely husband. And by lovely, I do mean lovely.
He is pretty lovely.
Oh, my gosh. Right? You get lost in those eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Kyle and you have combined forces with your desire to, I would imagine, not only learn yourself, but also model it yourself and then share it with other people. Wellness. Yep. And so you have launched the Wright, which is your last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, wellnesscenter.com. It is live right meow.
We launched February 6th, so it's literally brand new. There's everything on there is free right now. There are so many resources. We've literally put the last year and a half, maybe 2 years of our lives into this. I mean, this is our baby and it's in the world and it's so exciting.
And what I love about it is I really think you guys are taking not only therapy, but, you know, and wellness, but self-help, all of that stuff into the next millennia, if you would, bringing it to the current technology. No longer do you need to sit upon a couch and tell things about how you feel about your mother. You can now communicate via the web in the same manner.
Well, and I love it too. It's kind of, you know, our tagline is a place to start or perhaps all you need. And we're trying to fill that gap in between reading a book from Barnes and I guess those don't exist anymore. I just dated myself. Reading a book off of Amazon or going to a therapist. There's nothing in between that. And so we're trying to fill that space by kind of like, here's this information. This information might actually help your marriage. And then if it doesn't, maybe therapy is necessary, but at least give them a chance to like work interactively with me on video for way less money than coming into the office. And then, you know, go from there. But trying to fill that space.
Yeah, I like it. It is kind of, and tell me, I would imagine it to be something very similar to diet therapy in the sense that we've talked about it many times on the episodes you and I have done together that seems to be a misnomer. And I think it is changing. I honestly believe that people think therapy means if you go see a therapist, that means either your parents failed you or you are failing in life. But there's no matter what, there is a feeling of failure. And as somebody who is not only gone to therapy as if it was a prescription when I was in a very, very bad time in my life. And by bad time, I was not having suicidal thoughts. I was not depressed, whether you want to call it clinically or Southern California-y. I was just noticing that anytime I had a bad experience in stand-up, and that my wife, my lovely bride, which could be expected, had to rebuild my entire ego. And that introducing a child to that equation, for whatever reason, I don't know really what it was, made me kind of feel like that's a lot to expect of her, even though she's up for the challenge and she's all on board. But like, how about you kind of just take care of yourself or outsource it even? And I went to this guy, Dr. Malloy, who I've mentioned many times on the show, and literally turned my life around. He helped me make connections to why I was feeling what I was feeling, and not only, you know, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my child, my relationship with my profession. And it was just, it was so great. So, so great. And then I said, you know, so I did that for about 6 months and I kind of, he goes, well, would you like to come back, you know, next week, I think, or at that time, maybe we're doing monthly visits. And it was a weird moment for me because I was like, can you decide when you don't go to therapy? Like, I don't know if I could be trusted with my own mental health. And so he goes, yeah, no, I feel fine with it. If I thought there was something to worry about or anything, then I would absolutely say something. And so I go, okay. And I go, let's cut it off. And if I need to come back, I did. And I think I lasted maybe 8 months and then I dipped in for a visit. because things weren't so bad. And so the example I used many times on this show is that if your foot hurts a lot or even a little bit or it's annoying you, you go and you see a foot doctor. So why not do the same thing for your head or your emotions?
Exactly. And Right Wellness, the whole point of it is to make that even easier so that you don't even have to go look for a therapist right away. You can just go online and look at things and resources from the privacy of your own home and actually decide if therapy is the next step or not. And then on top of that, I've kind of coined this term. I'm sure it exists in the world, but I haven't done enough legal research to find out, but therapeutic coaching. So using the education that I have as a therapist, as a psychotherapist, and combining it with kind of like that directive thing that people seem to really like. So instead of just how are you feeling and then just processing that is how are you feeling? Okay, let's acknowledge it and then let's do something about it. And so that's kind of what we're educating and then take action.
That's great. And what that, like you're saying, is for anybody who's a gamer, I think that this is a what iPad or smartphone gaming apps are to actual console video games. So a therapy session, a video game that you get for your kid's PlayStation is going to, you know, set you back $60. You know, plus you got to get the console. So maybe that's $200-$300 and maybe they need a TV in their room and there's an investment there. But you know that the kid has an interest in it or whatever that may be. But with an iPad game or a smartphone game, it's only going to be $4.99 or maybe 99 cents, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so then this gives you a little bite-sized morsel, maybe some cliff notes. And if you peruse, you find, and you're paying $5 here, 10, but whatever it is, right? And then you're kind of like, oh, I like these ideas, but maybe I need a little bit more. Then what's great about the Right Wellness Center is you can also reach out and you could take advantage of the fact that Rachel is a licensed therapist and schedule a session and bounce some things off of somebody.
And then on top of that, we're launching a course. We're going to have a bunch of courses based on different areas. The first one is called Revive Your Relationship, and it focuses on everything we've ever talked about on this show, which is your sex life, communication, your kids, rituals in your relationship. And actually, for all of the Dad Podcast listeners, we're going to do a really special launch discount when it launches in May. So keep your ears out for that. We have it's in the works.
Oh, that is very kind of you to do for our listeners. And I had a moment. Well, I want to share this because I started to share it with you earlier. And then because it's also part of the fun that whenever I talk to you is I like to bitch about my own relationship. and we'll go into some things that I found online. Oh, this is what I want to say first. What is great about Miss Rachel, and I actually told this to somebody at the radio station that I work at now, where I said that, I go, what's great about Rachel is that you could literally be talking about how I feel sad and I feel like I'm only a utility to feed children. And I feel guilty about that because I love my kids, right? You could have that conversation with her, or you can equally have the exact same intensity level of conversation about, I am kind of interested in butt sex, but I don't, I feel ashamed of it. And she can walk you down both paths simultaneously. She can walk you down them independently. And it is what I think is, and I hope I'm not unintentionally sounding condescending here, but it is what I think is one of Rachel's greatest gifts. Is that?
Oh, Justin, thank you.
I mean it. It is. It's an interesting thing that, like, if I went to my Dr. Malloy, who kind of looks like the old guy from MASH in a very loving way, but he does. And if I tried to talk to him about how I wanted to put it in my wife's pooper, I would feel uncomfortable. That's not him doing anything. That's just who he
is. It's the relationship that you have with him.
Exactly. But as Rachel has done to me, where I will make a joke about something where it's like, well, I'm not a weirdo, and Rachel will politely correct me via Skype by going, well, why is that weird? Why do you think that's weird? What's going on in your head that would make you think that it's weird? And listen,
that's okay. You sound just like me.
I do a solid Rachel impression. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we are going to talk through some fantastic articles. I read through them when I sent them to Rachel. We've had some scheduling stuff where this bounced around, so I reread through them this morning. And a lot of times, Rachel, when I find this stuff, I will send it to you, and I feel like we end up picking this apart. And I'm curious to see what your reactions are to this, because in my opinion, I like a lot of this stuff. I didn't. Yeah. There might be one or two things that make me go bullshit, but the rest of it, I think, is good stuff. Yeah,
I'm excited.
All right, so we'll do that right after this. Okay, so the first one I want to go through is because it is in your realm, and I like to start negative and end positive. Is marriage therapists say these six things can slowly kill a marriage. Now, a lot of times go ahead.
And then go into the habits of happy people.
Yes, I want to end with that. Because I think we'll also, like per usual, we'll do a lot of crossover and everything. But anyway, so whenever I see these, I think that these BuzzFeed lists or anything like that, I think it's kind of bullshit. But this one, like we'll just start with this first one. You don't maintain friendships outside the marriage. Now, that's something I never would have thought of as being a big deal. My wife and I are pretty tight, but I think what this is, and tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, Miss Rachel, is that I think this is people, if your relationship is all you have, you don't give yourself the opportunity for absence to make the heart grow fonder. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. A little bit.
Okay. Well, tell me, because I look at this and I think everybody's going to listen to this and they're going to look at any kind of thing in this manner and they're going to say, well, do I do this? It's what we do.
And which number are you looking at?
I am sorry. This is the first one on these six things. Am I reading the wrong one?
I have a link that says 10. So in the email, it says six, but then the link that you sent me is 10 habits of people in the happiest relationships.
I'm sorry. So there should be a second link that says marriage therapists say these six things can slowly kill a marriage.
Got it.
There it is. So number one, you don't maintain friendships outside the marriage. Are we on the same page?
Okay. Yep. Literally on the same page.
Crushing it. So, and it goes into how spending time is important, but you need to have time away from each other. And this to me seems kind of a gray thing, because I love being around my wife to almost a codependent level. Am I unhealthy with my desire to need my wife in my life?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I think a good thing that we can touch on this is like the boundary between what a friendship outside the marriage is. So like, what do you share outside the marriage? Because that can create a problem. But if you rely solely on your partner for all of your emotional support, they're then your therapist, your friend, your buddy. They can't be everything. So I think it's a balance of figuring out like, what is it that we talk about with our partners? And then what is it that we kind of talk about with our friends? And where is the line there?
See, and you made me think of what if there's stuff that I'm sharing with a friend that I wouldn't share with a spouse, which to me seems like a no-no. Am I wrong on that?
And well, it might not be a no-no, but it at least, like you said, imitating me, asks the question of why don't I want to share this with her?
Ah, you're so good at this, Ms. Rachel.
Oh, thanks. I know.
Yeah, because what you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, is intent. That if I am unintentionally, without consciousness, sharing something with my buddy that I haven't shared with my wife, then there is no hiding.
Right.
But if it's like, if I'm saying this thing that I'm thinking and feeling, but I can't talk to my wife about it. Like, for instance, I'm not going to share names, so I don't want their butthole to pucker. But I got a really cool email from a listener the other day, and they were just having a hard time because they're about to have another kid. And it's making them very scared and very nervous, and to a point where they felt like they were having horrible thoughts of like and kind of feeling really guilty, because like, it's not that I don't want this kid, but if I wasn't having this kid, I kind of sometimes I feel like I'm okay with that. And that's a rough time to go through. I've been there. I called it my Thelma and Louise time when Jack was a baby and I couldn't get him to calm down. And I felt miserable. And I had like a 2.5 second moment where I'm like, I'm going to leave. Everybody be better off without me.
Yep.
And so if I'm share and I if I can't share that with my wife because I'm afraid of what that might do to her, I think to have a conversation with somebody else first and kind of throw it out there, because that's what if, but you eventually you have to go back to your wife or a significant other to be able to have that touchstone, because what if they're feeling the exact same way, but don't want to tell you because they're afraid that you're going to judge them?
Exactly. And having that sounding board to kind of process it out, whether that's with a therapist or a coach or with your best friend, having that sounding board first, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's something that, you know that your wife or husband or partner or whatever would be okay with you sharing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like private information about like her or his own stuff that maybe he or she wouldn't want out in the world, period.
This next one is something that I've been with my wife for 20 years, and I swear sometimes I think I forget this, and then I re-remember it all over like it's a new thing. You underestimate the need for touch. My wife has an ability to just put her hand on my back and literally physically make me feel like all my problems have just melted away.
Yep.
And sometimes, like it happened this very morning, I got frustrated with my wife. I was going to go into this and then I messed up on the last segment. But anyway, I got frustrated because we have friends visiting and I knew I had to come out here and do this. And so I got up and she does her usual get up, lay down with the boys, and she has to go to work on a Saturday. So she cuddles with them for a little bit in the morning. And I usually make breakfast, but I go in there. There's no food to make breakfast for our visitors, for the kids and everything. So now I got to go to the grocery store. And it's not like I'm just going to grab milk. I'm grabbing toothpaste. I'm grabbing all this stuff. And I get a little frustrated, but I'm working on this because normally I'd want to lash out at her and I would want to yell at her and go, listen, I do everything around here. I just need you to manage one goddamn thing. Like, cause that's where my mind goes. And this time I kind of said, you know what? She's busy. You're busy. Shit happens. Chill out, bro. And then thankfully, I think it made me to where it made me not so scary that she came up and she gave me a hug and she said, I'm sorry you had to run around like crazy this morning. And it just went, it made everything fine again. And that hug, though, that touch, that hug. Sometimes you sit on opposite ends of the couch while you're kind of having alone time, watching TV, slide over like it's the 60s. And you're in a pickup in a bench seat. You're about to neck. You know what I mean? You got to have that touch. If you're a guy listening to this, I think it's really important that when you come back home or you just have a moment to just give a good, solid, and I know this sounds super cheesy, 20-second hug. Just sit there, hug, rub each other, kiss her on the neck or whatever.
And a 6-second kiss.
Oh, really? Meow. I like that.
That is research proven, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a John and Julie Gottman thing. The masters of relationships have a 6-second kiss every day.
Intentionally? Like, or is it?
Yes. Yes. Like they set out to make sure that at one point or another, they have a kiss that lasts for 6 seconds or more. And when you try doing it on a daily basis, it's really interesting because it feels you realize that you're actually not doing that at all. Most of us are not. It's actually a much longer time than
6 seconds.
Yeah, it feels longer. It's really interesting. And anybody listening, like try it. Doing set up 2 weeks where you commit to doing a 6-second kiss once a day. And it really changes a lot. It just like this is saying about underestimating the need for touch. It's the same thing. It's this incredible intimacy that comes from no one else is that close to your face besides your kids.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is that I think it would be two questions. Number one is it literally like you just kind of press lips and hold there like you're two mannequins in a pose, which seems very counterintuitive. So I'd imagine that it's okay to like I overanalyze things. I don't know if you know me. So anyway.
What?
Yeah. Right. So I imagine that it's kind of like a miniature, like a quickie makeout. Like you don't have to give each other tongue or anything. But if it happens, why not? Who cares? Right. Meow.
You know, it kind of depends on the relationship. Okay. Honestly, and what mood you're in. If you don't feel like opening your mouth, it can be an embrace where you're like squeezing each other's faces together for 6 seconds. You know, it doesn't have to be like an awkward thing. Just however you would normally kiss your partner hello or goodbye, make it last for 5 more seconds instead of that one.
I don't know why, and I'm sure because now your question's always asked in my head, but it does make me feel a little uncomfortable if I tongue kiss my wife in front of the kids. I don't know why. I mean, mom and dad love each other, and I would love for them to enjoy feel the joys of tongue kissing their loved ones when they get older. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird how we have these certain little hangups. But anyway, And I also don't understand why my wife is totally fine with it. But at the same time, she's the one who is hyper concerned about locking the bathroom door if we decide to get frisky in the shower, or if there's a time that's not 15 minutes after they've gone to bed and fallen asleep that we decide to get frisky in the bedroom, like the door must be locked. She's super worried about that. But, well, listen, I'm not stupid. I know that there's a big difference between watching mom and dad make out and watching mom and dad bone. But still... it is interesting where...
I'm glad you know that difference.
Well,
Justin.
But I'm saying I'm not as aware. Maybe it's just because I'm so excited because I'm about to see my wife naked. But I, you know what I mean? Like, my mind never thinks, we got to lock it down. We're going into full lockdown. Like, I don't do that. But if we're in the hallway and it's close to bedtime and my wife is looking sassy and then I give her a little longer kiss and then she slips me the tongue, I go, whoa, easy. But anyway. But I would imagine that I have heard this thing that if you just smile, like make your face smile, that after a while, your brain starts releasing hormones and stuff that just make you happier without you even trying it.
It's
so it's the same concept, right?
Justin, we're talking like literally you smile right now, serotonin releases from your brain. It's an instant thing.
Wow.
So when they say like fake it till you make it, unless there's like a true chemical imbalance or like you're truly going through obviously like grief or a divorce, you know, things where like it's just really you're overwhelmed with sadness or depression. But if you're just kind of living in a pretty typical existence in your life, nothing's really going on. Yeah, seriously, smiling, literally just smiling. Like do it right now. Smile.
I am.
You just released serotonin.
Look at me.
Yay.
Full release, baby. And I would imagine, too, that I like that fake it till you make it because I think it applies to this touching thing and the 6-second kissing thing. Because initially, when you first do it, it's going to probably feel weird because you're going to be thinking about it. But then you're going to do it and you're not even going to be thinking about it. And it's going to bring you really, really close. I really think. Yep. And it might even, you know, kick up the passion in the marriage, too.
Yeah. Which
people with little kids especially, you need all the passion you can find and muster.
Yes. And especially with kids. If you can, so let's say like when... one person stays at home, one person gets home from work, you have your, you know, transition time. 6 seconds is not that long. So while you're changing into your, you know, home clothes or pajamas or whatever you wear around the house, you know, take 6 seconds in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And kiss your partner for 6 seconds before you go back down into, you know, interact with the kids.
And obviously do what you're comfortable
with.
Do what you're comfortable with. But I've read tons of research that shows that moms and dads that are affectionate in front of the kids, that actually creates self-esteem and security within the kid. Like not it's a result of security within the family, but it makes them feel more self-confident about themselves, the more affectionate and loving you are towards each other. As weird as that may sound, I would never make that connection. This one I need your help on because I don't understand this one. Your couple friends are a bad influence.
Yeah. So this is super interesting because... so one thing I want to point out about these articles in general. So you notice how at the top of the article it says by Brittany Wong.
Uh-huh.
So if you click on Brittany Wong, she's just an editor. She's not a therapist. She's not anything. She's literally like majored in journalism and her job is to edit things for the Huffington Post. So one of the things that's really important when you're reading articles like this that are not from one source, like Our Right Wellness Center blog. there's a shameless plug. she links in who says these things, right?
So this one is Laura Heck, a family therapist in Salt Lake City, Utah.
So first of all, who is Laura Heck?
Mm.
Why do we trust her? Mm. And is she saying this or is it based on research? Is this like her opinion? Is this what she's found? And so you... just kind of taking everything with a grain of salt when it comes to these like kind of mushmash articles. I mean, they get a gajillion shares, you know, it's like 5,000 people have read this article. But I bet you no one questions who Laura Heck is. And sorry, Laura, you're probably wonderful. So this quote, she says, you know, your friend's actions are actively influencing your marriage, whether you realize it or not. So to me, this is a great opportunity for communication to say, hey, you know, I noticed Sally was super rude to Jim at dinner tonight. Like, did you notice that? Do we do that in our relationship? And it's a great way of kind of self-reflecting.
And that's normal, huh? That's not because the way you're so good at this. The way you put that Because we do that sometimes when we go out with people, especially people that aren't kind of in our inner circle of friends.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, oh, did you notice that? And it is, it feels like gossip. It feels dirty.
Right.
But in actuality, but it's more of a, I think it's more of our monkey brain kind of doing a communication thing where it's like you can do that, which is another 10 habits thing that we got yes. coming up later, where you kind of do a state of the relationship.
Right. So it's almost like you're using, it's like with kids when you have them watch a show or a movie and afterwards, instead of just letting it go, you talk about like, what was the moral of that movie? Like, did anything make you uncomfortable in that show? Mm. What, you know, were there any things that you would want to do or not want to do that the characters did? You know, it's like this platform to really explore life. And so I think that while this article and this kind of your couples are coming off as a bad influence, I think if you look at it with the other frame, it can be a really positive influence in the way if you communicate about it. But I think what she's saying here is that if you surround yourself with people who are unhealthy and then you don't talk about it, that subconsciously you could pick up their unhealthy habits.
For the same reason that smiling can make you feel a little happier, being around negative vibes can kind of make you feel negative.
Correct. Got so it. To me, this is more of like not your couple friends are a bad influence. It's like if you hang out with people who are miserable, you might become miserable.
Exactly. This one I think is huge. And I need to get way better at this. And what I'm it says you don't help clean up around the house. Now, I'm the stay-at-home dad. Like, I do all the laundry. I shouldn't say all. I do most of the laundry now. And, you know, a lot of the cleaning and everything. But what I have realized is that there, and it is a thing that I think we all do. If you're the stay-at-home parent, right, and you're there all day taking care of the kids, and then the other person comes home from work, like, let's say you've made dinner, then the other person goes in and makes, does the dishes, right? So if I made dinner, Natalie will do the dishes, or vice versa kind of thing. And I think this goes back to the touching thing, where if you go in there and do the dishes together and get things done together, it gives you time while the kids are doing something else, or even as a family, like I'll cook a meal. I know it sounds super sappy and after school especially, but I've noticed that the few times that I go in there and kind of get involved and help her out, that there's a difference in the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so
absolutely.
Yeah, so I just want to throw that out. Now, here's the other part of it is that I'm the guy also who's like, sometimes you just need 15 minutes. If you've had a rough day, that doesn't mean you got to suck it up and go in there and do the dishes. You know, right. Let him or her do the dishes. That's a deal. But you can't have one person do it all. That seems to be like a doomsday device.
It could be. And that's kind of what they're saying here is like, it's interesting. They quote this study, which I'm super stoked on. They used one from 2015 because a lot of times they're like a study in 1999 and you're like, well, we had AOL then, like life has changed, people. But this study found that couples who didn't split up chores had less relationship satisfaction and less sex than couples who divvied up the chores. What that makes me think of, though, is all the way back to like our very first conversation ever, are the love languages.
Yep.
So if one person's love language is acts of service and they get a lot of joy out of actually doing all the chores, then that might not apply. That might be like an outlier situation. So it sounds like the majority of people really enjoy splitting up chores. But if you're one of those people listening right now that's like, wait a minute, I do all the laundry, I do all the dishes, and that's how I show my love to that person, that's okay. You're not doomed.
But also, I know because I'm hardcore acts of service. And for that example, when my wife does things, like for instance, when I was losing my shit and going to the grocery store this morning, she organized the fridge to make it easier for me to put the groceries away. And that stuff is like a huge road flare to me. Like I see it like it's like loud, like heavy metal music. It's impossible for me to not notice that stuff. So I would throw out there too that if you get involved and come in and help the person who is acts of service, that it also is the same. It's you speaking their same love language back to them at the same time, and it's all good. But
absolutely.
And it was here, it wasn't on the other article. It was, you don't sit down and talk about your relationship. We have this whenever we drop the kids off somewhere or have a date night. The time in the car is where we kind of do like a state of the relationship, like, how you doing, are you happy, what do you think of our overall life plan.
So I would say 95, like I'm shooting out numbers out of my ass, but 95% of couples don't do this.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, our opt-in or like free resource on rightwellnesscenter.com is a family meeting. And at the end of the family meeting, it's a weekly family meeting where you sit down. It can be just the adults or you can involve your kids. It's your choice. But at the end of the meeting, this is the last part. And there are three things that you check in about. You tell each other one thing that you appreciate about each other. You give each other each a compliment. And this includes the kids if you're involving the kids. And then something you can do in the upcoming week to support that person. Oh. So for example, like Justin, if you had something like you had a stressful meeting coming up at the radio station, you can say, you know, hey, babe, on Wednesday, I'm going to have that super stressful meeting. So if you could take over X, Y, and Z for me that day, that would make my week so much less stressful. So it's providing the space and the opportunity to actually check in about what's going on.
Mm. That's great. Wow. This last one, I think, is it falls all of them. And people, especially if you are having a young kid and if you're adding a second kid, you feel more and more like roommates. It is so easy in the world of parenting. And my wife and I did it. And all I could tell you, because when that baby is like 3 to 4, up until that baby's probably 4 months old, or right in that wheelhouse, you literally feel like you're two people living together, taking care of children as a business. There is, because if you're the dude in the relationship, your wife, her downstairs are no good. She's not feeling very sexy because she's just a feeding device.
Right.
And you're just trying to find where you can fit into this new equation. And you're probably even wrestling with some childish feelings about how I remember when I got a little attention from her and you want attention from her, but you also are aware that that's kind of unfair. You know, like the women in that situation really get spread kind of thin, I think, at least in today's world. And maybe we're getting better, but all I could tell you from my experience, and you tell me what you think of this, Rachel, is that you just have to take a step back and A, acknowledge that this is a limited time frame. As bad as it is, there will be a light, and it's not going to be a fix that's going to happen tomorrow. But what I can tell you that can make it a little bit better is, as the guy in the relationship, what I realize is when I let my monkey brain out a little bit more, it really softened a lot of this. I didn't do it while we were in this dark time. I didn't think of it then. But if I could go back and do it again, when I see my wife walking around, even if she's got spit up on her, I would tell her, if something about her walking by triggered my monkey brain and made me want to hump her, I would tell her. And when I started doing that, when I started kind of taking a peek at her while she was taking a shower or going in there and chatting with her, I swear to you, it's like that smiling thing. It made her feel a little bit sexier. It made her feel a little bit more like a woman. And it's not contrived. It's not it's not forced. And the more you can also tell them that they're a good mom and acknowledge that, I think that really goes a long way. When they're staying up all night and taking care of that kid, because unfortunately, the kid can't tell you, hey, thanks. And there is there's very little appreciation.
I really appreciate your milk, Mom.
Yeah,
I know your nipples are sore.
Yes, exactly. So somebody's got to do it. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, good.
Well said.
Crushed it. Look at me go. I'm learning
Look
so much
go.
From you. All right, let's take
Why
a quick.
Why am I even here?
I get too loquacious. Why am I even here? Oh, you know why? Because everyone listening to this is going, Justin, shut the fuck up and let Rachel talk. Let's take another quick break, and then we got to go through the happy ones, the good feelings, yeah?
Ready. Yay, happy.
All right, we're back. Let's see. 10 habits of people in the happiest relationships. I don't think I found any of these wrong. Number one is they always kiss their spouse hello and goodbye. Natalie's big on kisses goodnight. Sometimes I'll crawl into bed while she's putting the kids to bed because I have to go to bed early, and she always comes in and gives me a kiss. I always like it. I like the idea that she's like, you didn't give me a kiss, and that she wants one. So I think that's great, yeah?
Great, hate the word always.
Oh.
So, and this is actually coming up in a blog post, but there are three words that just kill communication, and it's always, never, and should. And people are activated by these words in so many ways, both conscious and subconscious. When I first read this, I was like, always? I don't always do anything. Like, what if he leaves and I'm in the bathroom? When is he going to come in the bathroom? And then if I don't do that, we're not happy?
It's always, Rachel. Kiss your man while you're dropping a deuce.
Exactly. So always.
It will make your relationship better.
I love the idea of this. Hate the word always, and I use hate very strongly. I don't use that word often.
I like it because, see, again, we joked about why are you here, because it's that stuff. See, that's just a little word that somebody put in there, but you're like, nope, fuck that. Bullshit.
So they use words like that to draw attention. That's why this has 13,000 shares and my blog post has like 3, because they use words that get you to feel an emotion. Regardless of what that is, it brings an emotional response. So then you want to share it with your friends. I would rather give honest information and have 5 people read it and it really help those 5 people than inflammatory things. Yeah. Can't words things. Okay. If this were changed to you do your best to kiss your spouse, hello, goodbye, and good night. Fantastic. Cool.
Perfect. Number 2, we kind of went over it. They are generous with compliments. I think we kind of went over that with the last one. This one, I really would like
do family meeting, give your spouse or partner a compliment once a week.
What do you think they mean by this? And maybe this is more of those buzzwords, but they disagree at times, but they fight fair.
So this is talking about, this article. Justin, I love these articles, but they are just so, it's like taking the most complex.
Yeah. And simplifying it
and being like, here's 4 sentences from an editor. This we could talk about for 4 hours. Basically what they're saying is that it's good to have fights and it's good to have conflict if you do it in a way that's positive, which you and I have talked about before.
Right. Okay. So they focus on the things they like about their partner rather than the things they don't. Now, I may be a victim of their word choices here, but this is definitely something for me to consider.
So I actually really like this one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think that a lot of us can get caught up in focusing on negatives in general. So look, they even mentioned Gottman. See if Gottman's
that's why.
Mentioned.
I saw that too. I could have swore she just said that name when I was looking at this just now. And that's the thing.
No feedback on that one.
I had a conversation with a mom at pickup where she was frustrated because her husband didn't plan a birthday party for her and she asked him to, you know, kind of thing. And unknowingly, I think I kind of did an example of this where I said, listen, so your husband works really hard. I said, when he comes home, he always jumps in with the kids. He's super loving and happy to have them around. He takes you dancing all the time, right? Like honestly, this guy is a guy that we all could strive to be, in my opinion. And I said, his one thing is he sucks at your birthday. You know what I mean? Like, if you could pick a flaw, that's a really solid one. You know, she was like, I guess, but I would really like a party.
And that, you know, as long as there's more. So John Gottman says that for every 1 negative thing that is said or done in any relationship, be it romantic or a friendship, there needs to be 5 positive things said or done to make up for it.
Wow.
That's a big ratio.
Yeah.
Like really big. So that tells me, my interpretation of that is how much effect the negative things have, because to have to do 5 or say 5 positive things to make up for 1 negative, it really shows the weight of what that negative thing can do. So what Gottman is saying here basically is that if you're mostly focusing on the positive, then it's pretty easy to stay in that ratio, because if the majority is positive, then those negative things only come up maybe once every 5
and
times.
And it keeps you out of emotional debt. I am in huge. I am bankrupt. And then if that's the case, my poor wife after 20 years, I'm an asshole.
Mail you one of those little piggy banks.
Yeah, I need it. I'm going to need a thermometer to get myself out of. I need a GoFundMe of hugs and kisses. They engage in a little PDA. I think that's kind of common sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like what we were talking about with the touching on the first one.
They don't expect their partner to read their mind. They ask for what they need. And I think this is an easy pitfall to fall into because I'm a guy who's pretty open about my wants and desires. And I catch myself every once in a while would be like, you know, after a couple decades, I'd really like you just to intuitively do this, you know, from time to time. But I also make an extra effort to point out that when she does intuit something and nail it, that I make a big deal of appreciation for it.
Yes. This reminds me of that scene in the movie The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. And they are just having like the worst fight. I mean, it's like the most typical. It's very well written because it's like the most typical, unconscious, no therapeutic techniques being used. And she's like, I just want you to want to do the dishes. And he's like, why would I want to do the dishes?
Well, I have to go back and revisit that movie. That is a good one.
Yes. And it's hilarious because you see it actually as a viewer from both sides that their logics aren't meeting up. And what Jennifer Aniston's character, if you know there was a therapist intervening, it would say something along the lines of, I'm exhausted. I cooked all day for this party. I would feel so wonderful if you could help me with these dishes.
Yeah.
It would help me. Because, of course, no one wants to scrub off fucking food off dishes. Like, no one actually wants to do them.
That's why, as an acts of service person, it's a big deal to me. When my wife does it, something that I know she doesn't want to do or like to do. And it also can backfire in my own face where when she does something that for me, but it's something that she would like to do, I'm like, that doesn't count.
This is different.
This is another one that rang true really a lot for me is they laugh together often. My wife and I do laugh together, but this is kind of a New Year's resolution of mine. As a comedian, I realize that I don't spend as much time joking or laughing with my wife as I did when we were younger. It's not a part of it's when I check out any humor sometimes. Don't get me wrong, it's not void, but I think it is kind of you have to have fun. And if I lightened up and wasn't such a dick all the time and smiled, I guess, so I have more serotonin, then it would be easier to kind of fuck around while we're doing dishes and cleaning up around the house, you know?
Yep, absolutely. This is really important. And you skipped one, but...
Oh, I did? Which one?
They set aside time to reconnect and make it a priority.
Oh my God, how ironic is that?
I know. Was that like a subconscious?
Can I still say Freudian or now do I have to say Gottman all the time?
You could still say Freudian.
Okay, good.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right?
Really interesting.
So that's here's the thing is that is probably the most important one on this list of 10, if you ask me. I mean, maybe the finance one is next, but... Yeah, if you don't have that date night, if you don't have that time where you just sit on the couch and go, what's up, you will turn into roommates.
Well, and there's so many types of setting aside time to reconnect. There's reconnecting sexually. There's reconnecting emotionally. To me, this finances thing actually falls under this one. This is more of like an umbrella.
Oh, it could be a part of. Yeah, yeah.
Which is what we tried to do with the family meeting thing. So it's creating like time where there's emotional connection, financial connection, humor connection, food connection. It's setting time aside to actually talk about your life together. And part of life are finances and logistics and getting your kids to school and all of that good stuff.
And a great book, The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, is a great book for you. It kind of helps you manage your finances, but also incorporates the relationship aspect to it too for anybody who's out there.
Also, Money, A Love Story by Kate Northrup.
I'll get that one.
It talks about how we usually have a distant relationship with money, like it's like an external thing. And she talks about what could be different if we were actually in relationship with money, like as though we're in relationship with our partners. How do we treat that relationship and how we can apply those things to our relationship with money? And it's really an incredible book. I highly recommend it.
And this last one before we let you go, they give each other the benefit of the doubt. It was because I read this in preparation of talking to you today that at the grocery store I was like, calm down. She didn't purposely sabotage you with no groceries. Like, but it's hard because you're together with each other all the time. And then you're so dependent on each other in a lot of ways. And so it's easy to kind of get frustrated with that other person and paint them into a sandbag instead of a companion.
Totally. And this can go with the positive, like, how do they phrase it up here? It's like the positive perspective.
Yes.
It's the Gottman thing, but it's viewing, you know, viewing your partner's behaviors and actions as inherently positive and not inherently trying to screw you over or make your life harder.
Rachel, you are nothing short of the best. I appreciate your time. I know that she's got to bounce right this minute to go help a patient. That's how
I do. That's I have a committed. Client in 8 minutes.
Boom. RightWellnessCenter.com, at Right Wellness on the Twitter. There is a private Facebook group, yes, that people can join. That it's already filled with a lot of dad podcast listeners right now.
Yes, which is super amazing. It's if you just Google search Right Wellness Center official group, you can join.
Say it again. It clipped out a little bit when you said official group. Oh. Is that?
Yep. It's so the link is facebook.com/groups/ Right Wellness Center.
Perfect. And I will put that in the description of this here episode. Thank you so much.
See you there.
We'll talk to you maybe in about a month again. And congratulations on the website, the marriage, and give your man a hug and a squeeze for me. Okay.
Always.
On behalf of the wonderful Rachel Wright, this is Just Worship saying hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.